Let's pray for our first responders. Can we do that right now? We have several first responders that are in our congregation. And so, you know what? Let's just pray for them. Father, we thank you for wherever they're going right now. And Father, we pray for protection for our congregation, for those who are nurses and policemen and firefighters and all the different things, sheriffs and all the different things. We just thank you for their willingness to serve. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Yes, my friend, amen. I want to ask you a question today. Where do you live? Somebody say, where do you live? I want to know where you live. Georgie, where do you live? What city do you live in? Santa Fe. Georgie lives in Santa Fe Springs. George, where do you live? Pico Rivera, amen. Amen, amen, amen. George, what high school did you go to?
El Rancho.
El Rancho, what are they? El Rancho Eagles? I knew that. I was just tricking you. I knew they were. Come on. Hey, brother, I'm proud to be a Titan. You know that. We used to have, when I went to Pioneer High School, you know, the very, very astute, high academic school. We had a principal. I never saw him except he never even talked to anyone. Never saw him. But when we had assemblies, the only thing he'd do, he'd come up to the stage and he'd say, "Students, I am proud to be a Titan." And then he would sit on down. 4 years. That's all I heard him say. Amen. James, where do you live? Whittier. Amen. I want to ask you today, where do you live? But I'm really not asking you where your home is. But I want to ask you today where your hope is. Where do you live? Because the Bible says the just shall, we're going to look at it in a minute. The Bible says the just shall live by their faith. I mean, guys, how many recognize what a trippy week we have experienced already in 2021? What a tumultuous, oh my goodness. And here's what I'm saying to you. Here's what I want you to understand. The just have to live. We are the just. We're the justified. God is the one who, because of what he did on the cross, what Jesus Christ, because of his blood, we are justified in the Father's eyes. Come on, can somebody say thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Jesus. Because of that, that's the reality. But what I want you to understand is the justified need to live by our faith. What is that? It's we need to live by trusting in God. Listen, church, I have a lot of warnings for you today. How many recognize what could be ahead of us could be extremely difficult? I'm not trying to be negative. When this COVID thing first hit, the first sermon that I preached, I believe that I heard God saying to me, and I've been doing this ever since, that your assignment is to toughen up. Hey, can you turn me down a little bit? Thank you. Your assignment is to toughen up. My assignment is to help you to toughen up. Because what Pastor Isaac said maybe 3 Sundays ago, it is so ingrained in my heart. And here's what he said. He said, the middle ground is shrinking. And what's really taking place is the coming of the Lord is in front of us. And so the time of us having 1 foot in and 1 foot out. How many know if you have 1 foot in and 1 foot out, according to the word, you don't have one foot in and one foot out. You have both foot out. How many hear what I'm saying? Listen, if you are totally committed to Christ, then make a decision today and look and examine your life and ask yourself, where do you live? Because I believe if you would say, no, Pastor, I'm rocking it. I'm spending time with God. I'm spending time with in the Word. I are connecting with my pastor. Let me say this, and you need to hear this. Guys, we need to get closer together, not farther apart. I mean it. And I'm not talking about not social distancing. I'm talking about our hearts have to be knit together. In 2020, listen, I don't have a good message today. I have a message from God today. Amen. And the message that I'm hearing to communicate to you is say, connect closer to your pastor than you have ever connected. Connect closer to God than you've ever connected. Connect closer to the church than you've ever connected. This thought is from the pit of hell. Well, you know what? I'm just a freelancer. You know what I mean? I roll how I roll. Well, Jackson, where do you get that in the Word of God? Because I don't see it in the Word of God. I see that God says, and I could show it to you, where he, and it's like, ooh, I don't think that's in the Word. I could show it to you, where the Bible says that God places people over you. And he doesn't do that because he's not a loving God. He does that because he is a loving God. We need to understand. Everyone has somebody over them. And according to the Word, God has put that person over you for your protection, for your help, for your benefits. And so what I'm asking you to do is to not be casual, to recognize, to start to ask yourself, who am I talking to? I'm talking about those who are rocking it, who are fully committed to Christ. Now, if you're not fully committed to Christ, listen, the thought of thinking that you always have tomorrow is a deceptive thought. You think you can just turn it on and turn it off. Let me tell you what. You need to make a decision today that you are going to draw closer to God than you've ever drawn closer to Him in your life. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means to you. Let me throw some out there. If you have hardness and bitterness in your heart, if there are people in your family, in your household that you haven't forgiven, you know, I know this messes up your theology, but how many know you have no better theology than the Word of God? How many know you got no better theology than the Word of God? And here's what Jesus himself said, with the same measure that you measure it out, that's how it's going to be measured back to you. And if you do not forgive, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. I don't know what you do with that except make sure that you get rid of the bitterness that you have in your life. Walk in forgiveness. Yeah, but they did. Who cares? You know, the example of in the Word, God says, are you kidding me? You want to talk about how much they did to you? Look at how much I've forgiven you. You want to focus on something? Focus on that. And when you do, you know, let me tell you what that'll do. It'll humble you out and you'll start recognizing, oh my goodness, who am I to be self-righteous towards that person? Yeah, maybe they did me wrong. Maybe they continue to do me wrong. But I cannot keep that bitterness in my heart and be a Christian. Maybe for some of you, it means, you know what, recognize that God wants all of your life, including your financial part of your life. You know, people get upset. People get upset with pastors who talk about, probably one of the biggest criticisms I get is that, you know what, I talk about money too much. But you know what, that'd be like a basketball coach, you know what, gets out there and says, I don't know that much about basketball. I'm just going to talk about football today. It doesn't even make any sense. We live in such a materialistic world, and the world out there has caught up in the church, and now we look at the pastors like they're crazy because they expect us to fund the kingdom of God. Listen, let me tell you what. I won't ask you to do anything that Tamara and I aren't doing, first of all. And I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I don't see in the Word of God. This thought that, you know what, well, I'll just come and I'll just, you know what, sit there. You know, I'm going to just sit here and, Pastor, you better preach a good sermon, or, you know what, I'm going to get upset and I won't give anything. Oh, my goodness. Take your spoiled little brat attitude and get out of here. Am I smiling still? Am I smiling still? And the truth is, I don't want you to get out of here. But I want us to have a good attitude about everything in our life. And the thought that there's components, there's areas in our life that we're going to keep from God. It's craziness. And the time is running out. Every single one of us. See, we have people in the church, and you say, "Oh yeah, but Pastor Joel, that's just how he is. He just loves God, man. He's just all in. He's up here, and he's just into it." But Pastor, I'm not that way. Well, listen. I say this with all due respect. Figure out today who you're going to serve. Because you think you have one foot in and one foot out, and you don't have one foot in and one foot out. You don't have one foot in and one foot out. You have both feet out, and you're just deceiving yourself. And I don't want anybody to be self-deceived. Someone look at your neighbor and say, "Oh my goodness, it's going to be great today." Listen to me. You have to, the just shall live by their trusting in God. And if you aren't sensitive to the Spirit of God, if you're not in the Word every day, if you're not, and I encourage you, don't be in the Word every day. Not only be in the Word every day, but Monday through Friday, be in the Word with your pastor. Pastor, how do you do that? Every single day at 10 o'clock, I'm completely, totally committed to you, to mentoring you, to making disciples. That's what we do. I can't play tennis on both sides. Ooh, I'll hit the ball. Ooh, I'll run to it and hit it back. I can't do that. But what I can do is be here at 10 o'clock serving you, opening up the Word of God. You say, "Pastor, I can't connect at 10 o'clock. Well, you can connect if you can connect at 11, because as soon as we record it, boom, it's up, it's on air. You can listen to it anytime you want. And what I'm asking you to do Monday through Friday, we're going to read one chapter in the New Testament, and we're going to go through it together, you with me, your senior pastor. I'm not saying that you can't read the Word of God on your own. Of course you can. God speaks to you too. But what I'm pointing out is the book of Acts says that those people were at the apostles' feet daily learning their doctrine. What was their doctrine? They'd been around Jesus. Their doctrine was Jesus' doctrine. Listen, I'm not on tomorrow at 10 o'clock, I'm not opening up the Book of Mormon. Amen. We're gonna read in Luke. And listen, as anointed as the services are on Sunday, tomorrow morning, I'm telling you, God is doing something very special. Take advantage of it. This casualness of, here's what the Bible says. As the day approaches, somebody says the day approaches. Listen to me, church. Wake up. My dad used to wake me up Sunday morning for church. Amen. And he'd come in and he'd do this. He'd act like he had a trumpet. And he'd say, he'd go, bum 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 bum. And then he'd pause. And then he'd go, bum 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 bum. I'm like, ah. I mean, as a teenager, you're just loving life. And watch this. But there were occasions, this is a true story, there are occasions that if particularly on Sunday, if that didn't rouse me up, that he was known to bring something in the room. He'd bring water in the room. Yes, yes, I was baptized. I was immersed, hallelujah. But in times like that, he reverted to sprinkling, amen? And it was way more than just a sprinkle. Listen, understand that your pastors are given to you as a blessing. And yes, you can read the Word of God, but the Bible says we've rightfully got to divide the word of truth. The Bible says that the older women should teach the younger women. Not because the younger women aren't smart, not because they're not intelligent, not because they can't hear from God, but the older women are trained. Do me a favor. Don't just read a chapter in the Bible every day, but do me a favor. Read it with your pastor. Amen. We need to question where we live. Are we walking by faith? Are we putting our trust in God? Do we know what's really going on? In 2020, are you kidding? Do you know what's going on? No, in 2020, did you know what was going on? Thank you. Did you know what was going on? Because I can turn on Dr. Fauci one day, and one day, he is seriously looking in the camera telling us, hundreds and thousands of America, as the expert, that masks are not necessary and they're not helpful, really. Fast forward 3 months. Same expert now telling us, I'm serious. I saw it, you know, exactly. If I didn't see it myself, I wouldn't have believed it. But he said masks are absolutely critical, and actually, you should not only wear masks, but you really should wear goggles. Wait. Are you the same guy that told all of us three months ago, that this stuff's not really that important, not really critical, doesn't really make any difference? See, what I'm saying to you, listen to me, church, is the just, that's us, shall live in a practical sense by trusting in God. Do you understand? We don't know. And we've got to get our eyes off of the world system, what they're telling us, what we think. You know what? There's so much of what they say isn't even true. You can say amen to this. What I'm saying is that in the future, listen, are you kidding me? There are people in high places of authority that this week, they just shut them down. Oh, you in America. I'm asking you, church, how long you think before this pastor is in jail? I'm asking you. You think that's unrealistic? What I'm saying is, no, here's what I need. I need all we can to make sure you are allowing me to mentor you. We need to grow this church up where we have, you know what, now hundreds of leaders. And we have a chain of command that as soon as I'm in jail, then Tamara's in charge. And as soon as Tamara's in jail, then, you know what, Pastor Joel's in charge. And as soon as Pastor Joel is in jail, you know what, then somebody else is in charge. You understand what I'm saying? You say, Pastor, that's wacky. Wake up and smell the coffee. Amen. We're not in Kansas anymore, somebody. And then, watch this. And then, in California, the most restrictive lockdown. Let me say that first. We are just going to lock down for, come on, somebody say it, 2 weeks for what? Why? To flatten the curve. How many remember that one? Come on, raise your hand if you remember that one. And we're like, oh, okay, okay. Right? California, the most restrictive lockdown state. Okay, then please tell me. If lockdowns work, then you tell me how come we are seeing the resurgency of COVID in the most, you know, shouldn't we be better than other states that have less? I mean, follow the science. I'm just saying. Does this make any sense? Yeah, you can say no because it makes no sense. It's no sense. And then they tell us, oh, you like, oh, we're following the science and you're not. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. How dumb do they think we are? Listen to me carefully. And I'm not saying that COVID is not real. I'm not asking you not to wear a mask. I'm not a no masker. Ooh, you know, wear a mask if you want to. Social, do you know what? Do whatever the Lord lays on your heart. What I'm saying is the just shall live by their relationship with God. And all that is talking about is trusting God. Well, how can you trust God if you're not hearing God? How can you trust God and not have a relationship with Him? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So my question is, where do you live? And my real question is, not where your home is, but where is your hope? Where is your hope? Quickly, let's look at that scripture that I've been quoting. It's in Habakkuk. We have it up here on the screens. Chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. I'm reading now the New Living Translation. Usually I quote from the or read from the New King James, but I just want you to catch this wording here. His vision is for a future time. It describes the end. Somebody say the end. Now, well, here's what I want you to catch. And it will be fulfilled. Somebody say it's going to be fulfilled. See, listen to me. Everybody look at me for a minute. The very things that God has said are going to happen in the Word of God. This is deep. Ready? According to Habakkuk, the prophet in the Old Testament, they are going to happen. And in some generation, they will usher in the end of the end. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It's going to take place for sure. It will not be delayed. Look at verse 4. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves. See, watch. This is a contrast. The proud trust in themselves. The proud are focused on themselves. The proud have lived their life, and they're going to figure out their marriage. They're going to figure out their finances. They're going to figure out their life. They're going to figure out what James says. You know what? Oh, you know what? We're going to go into this city. We're going to buy and sell, totally separated from God. Yes, we go to church every Sunday. We have a form of godliness, but we don't really have a relationship with God. No. That's what the proud do. They are running their lives by themselves. And what I'm saying is what Pastor Isaac said several weeks ago, that middle ground is is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Listen to me. The days of just being able to figure it out on your own, those days are over, folks. You're going to have to develop a relationship with God. You're going to have to put your trust in Jesus Christ and is what he says in his word. And for those of you who think it's not going to happen, the prophet in the Old Testament said it absolutely is going to happen. Here, let me testify. It is going to happen. God cannot lie. Everything that he says is going to happen is going to happen. Amen. Verse 4 again, look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked. Their lives are crooked. There are people who look you straight in the face, look in the camera, and they will lie completely to you, not telling you the truth. And the just have got to develop their relationship in God that they would be able to figure out what the truth is. What is the truth? Jesus Christ said, I am the truth and the life. So you've got to develop your relationship with God, and the casual relationship with God has got to be over. If not, you're going to be wiped out. And here's the scary thing. You won't even recognize you're wiped out. You'll be like, oh, everything's okay. Read your Bible. Jesus says, in this last days, when he's wrapped the whole thing up, he's going to have sheep on one side, goats on the other, and a bunch of the goats are going to be like, "What the heck? I go to church. Are you kidding? Jesus, I'm in the wrong group here." That's what the Bible says. And you know what's freaky about that? You know what the Bible says in that passage? It says that many will say to me. Many are going to think, I'm in the wrong group. Well, God's not going to go, oh, come on, somebody. How many know God's not going to go, oh, I made a mistake. You're right. Come on over here. That's not what's going to happen. Are you learning something today? See, they're crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. The Bible says, the King James Version says, the just shall live by faith. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in sweetest frame, but only rest on Jesus' name. See, we need to get back to a simplicity of my life is just, you know, for me, Paul says, to live is Christ. I'm not faking Christianity. Christianity is not something I do on a Sunday. Christianity is not something I do on a Wednesday. Christianity, Christ is who I am. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Have I told you my first point? My first point is a question. Where are you living? I want every single one of us today to ask ourselves, where do we live? And I don't care what city you live in. That's not my point. My point is, who are you trusting? Where is your hope in? Do you have a deep relationship with Jesus Christ? That's my question. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I have it here, up here on the screens. Look what it says. Look what Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 35 says. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is a great reward, for you have need of endurance. Somebody say, I have a need of endurance. Bunch of Christians, they start off, oh, yes, praise the Lord, hallelujah. How many know Christians that aren't around anymore? Raise your hand if you know Christians that aren't around anymore. No, what the writer of Hebrews says, you have need of endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, say after you've done the will of God. See, you're walking in forgiveness. You're walking in faithfulness. You're walking in love. You're doing those things. But listen, I like what my brother-in-law has on his refrigerator. He says, yesterday's home run doesn't win today's ball game. How many know? We need endurance. We need to continue to be faithful to what God has asked us to do. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Watch this. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will not tarry. He's saying the same thing Habakkuk said. The very thing that God has promised is going to happen. Watch this. And now the just shall live by faith. Oh, we see it again in the New Testament. But watch this. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. If anyone draws back. Somebody say, if anyone draws back. Come on, everybody say, if I draw back. Say, I can be in anyone. See, let me tell you what. The Bible tells you stuff as warnings, not because it can't happen, but because it can happen. There's people who've been serving God for 20 years, for 10 years, for 3 years, for 8 years. And guess what? Something happened. They got offended. You know, pastor didn't say hi to them. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Here, can I say something to y'all right now? Hi. Everybody over here, hi. You know, the truth is, Tamara and I love every single one of you. Amen. But sometimes I know I don't say hi to you. Hi. And we allow little things to infect us and get us upset and get us angry and all this stuff, and it's not good. Amen. And God says, if you're going to draw back, my soul is not pleased. My second point. Number two, now is not the time to retreat. Shrink back, be afraid, be intimidated, cower in the face of a lying bully, or stop believing in the one who cannot lie. I know that's a mouthful, but listen to it again. Now is not the time to retreat, to shrink back, to be afraid, to be intimidated, to cower in the face of a lying bully, to stop believing in the one who cannot lie. Again, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, look at the proud. They trust in themselves. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me show you something there real quick. How many of you have been blessed from God? You knew it was God. In many areas in your life. Raise your hand if many areas. Somebody say many areas. Well, I'm going to read you something in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And look at verse 10. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which I swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewed out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. Somebody say, when you've eaten and full. Now listen, Tamara and I are hard workers. We've been hard workers all our lives. But the reality is, Tamara's dad and mom and my dad and mom set us up. They set us up by teaching us good principles. And so when I look at our home and I look at the furnishings in our home and I look at the property that we own and I look at the blessings that we have, and the blessings that we have are far more than just financial blessings, I recognize that those blessings came from God. How many know, how many of the Bible says in the New Testament, all good things come from the Father of lights? So when God blesses you, again, how many have been blessed in many ways? Here's what God says to the Israelites, and here's what he's saying to us. Listen to me. Look what it says. When all this happens, and you've eaten and you're full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt into the land, from the house of bondage. When you are comfortable, comfortable is a scary place because it causes you to shrink back from the things of God. You think, oh, I got it. How many would recognize this? When you're jacked up, some catastrophe happens in your life. Your kids have gone wacko, or something is critically wrong in your life. What happens to you? What do most of us do in that place? You know what we do? That's when we find God again. Hello. That's when we're like, oh, and all of a sudden we're up in the morning. Oh, I'm praying every day, reading our Bible. All of a sudden we get connected with God again. Amen. Imagine that with God. You know, God is the one who takes you to In-N-Out. God is the one who buys you a double-double with no onions. God is the one who he wants to sit down with you, and when he sits down with you, you get up and walk away and take your food and walk away and sit somewhere else. Whoa. See, when God has blessed you, now is not the time to shrink back. And I see hands all over the, when I say, you know, how many God blessed? God's blessed us so much. And then all of a sudden, when we're blessed with God, then all of a sudden we back up. Then all of a sudden we got it all together. The proud trust in themselves. And then all of a sudden we think, you know what? Well, let me tell you what. This financial blessing, you know, happened to me. I'm so smart. You know how many people look at me now? You know, we've been COVID for how long? You know, they just recently opened up the churches, and they didn't do it because they wanted to. They did it because in California, they did it because they were forced to. How many know this is true? Some judge told the governor what to do. But how many know we've been open for a while? Amen. You come here, you're like, this is nice. Look, we're outside, and yet we're all covered. Listen, if it was pouring down rain, you know what would happen to us? Nothing. Amen. Can somebody say amen? And people look at me and say, oh, Pastor, man, you are so smart, man. You are so smart. Man, oh, you are so smart. I ain't so smart. We were smart in that. When God told us, don't wait. We had raised half of the money. We still had to, you know, what do? You can't start to build and only build half of this. So what do we do? And was it comfortable to me? I heard somebody this morning, I thought it was so good. If you are going to trust in God, you need to welcome uncomfortableness into your life. That's what I'm saying to you guys. The just shall trust in God. What do you tell me this? You think, how comfortable was it? How comfortable was it for the apostles? Jesus looks at the apostles and says, here's what I want you to do. These people been here all day. Man, we got to feed them. And then Jesus says, how many know God's smart? How many of God is trying to, what? You know what he's trying to do to you? The same as what he's trying to do to the apostles. He is trying to get you to walk by faith and not by sight. He's trying to develop faith in you that you would trust in God beyond that. Listen, God sets us up for difficult. I'm not saying God purpose. Living on this earth is difficult. How many relate to what I'm saying? Well, now is not the time to shrink back. Now is not the time to retreat. So God asked the apostles on purpose, man, we ought to feed these people. You guys feed these people. The apostles are like, we, 200 denarii. That was about three-fourths a year's wages. Even if we bought all that food, it would only get, everybody would only just get a little. And then Jesus says, here, watch this. He doesn't get up there and say, okay, I want everybody to sit on down in groups of 50s and 100s. Read your Bible. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus, do you know what he does? He tells the apostles to sit them down. Read your Bible. Jesus is not feeding the 5,000. No, he didn't do it. He takes the bread and the fish. He prays to God. And then, how many know what he did? Come on, somebody help me preach this. He gives it to the apostles. Huh? Who rolls away the stone? Okay. Who raises Lazarus from the dead? See, now you're like, oh, I don't know what to say. No, you know what to say. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Come on, you can say Jesus. Okay, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Remember? Lazarus, come forth. That was Jesus. Who rolls away the stone? Not Jesus. Jesus looks at them and says, roll away the stone. Wait. Let me catch this. Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead, but he needs help to roll away the stone. Do you catch this? See, why in the world does Jesus, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's trying to get you and I to do the same thing, to completely trust in what he says. But we get so comfortable. We're like, oh, if it causes me to be uncomfortable, then it must not be God. Oh, my goodness, read your Bible. Because I can show you page after page after page of uncomfortableness that God is pushing people to feel uncomfortable. What do they say? Wait. You must be confused, Jesus. If we do that, man, this guy's been dead for 4 days. It's going to stink in here. Do you understand? Jesus is always trying to get us to put our trust in him. And this thought is, I will put my trust in him if it fits in my little box, if it's convenient for me, you know what? Then I'll do it. That is not Christianity. The just shall live by faith. Where do you live? How do you live? Who do you put your trust in? When God asks you to do things that are difficult, are you have the willingness to say, I'll tell you what, I'm all in. I'm doing it because I can trust God, because God knows the beginning from the end. He's smarter than me. You know what Paul tells Timothy? He says, Timothy, you've been prophesied over. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. He says, Timothy, you've been prophesied over me. You've been prophesied over. And it's those prophetic words that are going to cause you to wage a good warfare. Guys, we need to develop our relationship with God, that God can speak to us. And then we're quick to say, God, if you said it, I believe it, I'm all in. I can trust you like I can trust nobody else. And I know it's counterintuitive. I know my mind is shouting at me saying, you know what? This is so. Listen, Peter. What's Peter do? Peter at some point in time, when you read this story, see, understand this. There's a boat. Peter and the apostles are in the boat. Jesus tells them to come. At some point in time, you know what Peter had to do? Peter had to let go of the side of that boat. And the Holy Spirit is saying the same to you. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what the issue is. Here's what I know. That the days of one foot in and one foot out are over, guys. And I don't say this because I'm self-righteous. I'm not saying this because I'm better than you. Listen to me. This is what I hear God speaking to me. No, not to me to speak to you. Yes, me to speak to you. But before I speak to you, he's saying that to me. What does that mean in my life? Well, in my life, it's meant, you know what? I am disconnecting with so much of the media that I used to be connected to. It means I've got to connect with God more. It means I need to be more sensitive. Guys, on the media team, I did a series called Frequency. Get that up on the website so the people can go and listen to that. It was maybe eight sermons on a Sunday when we were inside. Remember when we were inside? Remember inside? Isn't it funny? Like I'll be watching a movie or something. I'll be watching on TV, and they'll be like a basketball game or something. No, not one now. Like a movie about a basketball game, and they'll, you know, whatever. They'll all be huddled up or something. I'm like, oh, that's so weird, right? Right. It's on the website already. See. Amen. Pastor Vegas is like God. You know what? Before I pray, she even knows what I... Amen. Are you learning something today? Here, let me ask you this. Do you hear God speaking to you today? I was talking to my son, you know, last night, and we were just talking about kind of where we're at. And Tyler just said, you know what, Dad, I just feel like all this stuff that we all get caught up in, we just need to connect with God. That's what I'm saying. That we need to connect back with God. In him we need to live and move and have our being. Amen. Does that make sense? Isaac, can you And sometimes when you preach a message like this, people start to think, you know, like, oh, God is against me and all this that I haven't been fully committed like I should and all this stuff. Can I tell you what? But I love what God tells the brother that came with a just a cruddy gift. Remember, in his other brother, the gift was a blessing to God. Cain and Abel, thank you. And we think that we can't turn it around. Satan comes in and he lies to us and says, you know what, God is against you because you've done this and this and this and that. Can I tell you what? That's why Jesus was sent to us, because we did this and this and this and that. You think God doesn't know what you did? Let me say it like this. Don't you recognize that that's why he sent his son? That the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now that doesn't mean that we don't even need to make a correction. So God tells the one brother, he says, don't you understand? God's right there. He's right there. All you have to do is change your ways. All you have to do is recognize. All you have to do, watch this, is have a humble humility to allow God to correct you. I'm talking about Christians that have maybe been saved for a long, long time in the house. Do we have a willingness? And I'm starting with myself. Do I have a willingness to look and examine my life and say, God, there's areas that I need to draw close to you in? I believe that's true. And for those of you who are just barely made it here, God says, listen, you're here, aren't you? Stop beating yourself up. I'm right here. What do you think this message was for? This message is for you because I love you. Yes. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I will trust in you, and I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. If God has spoken to you today, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to say, you know what? God has spoken to me, and I'm not here to condemn anyone whose hand's up. Matter of fact, if your hand's up and God has spoken to you, I'm proud of you. But with that hand, I don't know what he said to you, but if there needs to be repentance, then just come clean. Just repent. Just say right there where you are. And you could be so soft, nobody even needs to hear you. Because here's the truth. It's none of the person next to you's business. They do not really care. This is between you and God. With your hand up, say, God, forgive me for what I have done. And you know what it is. I want to draw close to you today. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who will help me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.